You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you may not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about the Akasha or the Akasha Records with our special guest, Rohini Marathi. And she's got a new book called Tapping into the Akasha, A Wondrous Journey of Personal Growth and Spiritual Development. You know, what if every thought, experience, and life lesson you've ever had is stored in an energetic field that you can access right now? You know, the Akashic Records, a lot of people think of it as some type of a global intergalactic library where every thought, deed, action, experience is stored, and you need a professional to help you tap into that to kind of get information that might help you live your life, look at your past lives, look at your star and soul family, and see where you're going in the future. But according to our special guest, Rohini Marathi, her book gives us a path and practices to allow you to tap into the Akasha on your own. Now, of course, it takes a lot of work. You have to know how to teach yourself how to meditate and get into a quiet state where you can gradually, over time, be able to access the Akasha. But it is, according to Rohini, it is doable, and we're going to talk about that in detail today on Guys Guys Radio. So some of the other things we're going to learn about today is how to uncover answers to life's big questions, how to begin to understand your soul's path, how to gain a more deeper understanding of yourself, how to develop your intuitive abilities, and how to find answers to specific questions you may have about your past, present, and future. That's all here today on Guys Guys Radio with Rohini Marathi. You know, she's no ordinary spiritual guide. She's a revolutionary voice in modern metaphysics. From the foothills of the Himalayas to the sacred banks of the Ganges, Rohini's childhood was a kaleidoscope of spiritual immersion framed by extensive travels throughout India, pilgrimage that shaped her spiritual ethos and transformative path. And we're going to get into her story as well as a whole bunch of practices and protocols that you can undertake on your own to learn how to get deeper into meditation as your medication, and also be able to ultimately tap into the Akasha and be able to glean some answers from there. So I hope you enjoy the show. It's going to be a fantastic interview with Rohini Marathi right here on Guys Guys Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio. It is the interview portion of our show. And let me ask you a question, folks. What if every thought, experience, and life lesson you've ever had is stored in an energetic field that you can access right now. Today's guest on Guys Guys Radio is spiritual teacher, Akashic Records specialist, and author Rohini Marathi. In her new book, Tapping into the Akasha, Rohini presents a practical approach to understanding what she describes as the Akasha, an energetic field containing the memories, experiences, and wisdom of the soul. Drawing from a childhood steeped in spiritual traditions, extensive studies in meditation, energy work, and consciousness exploration, Rohini teaches people how to access their own inner wisdom rather than relying solely on outside authorities. We'll discuss what the Akashic Records are, why interest in them is growing, and how connecting with this deeper source of guidance may help us navigate modern life with greater clarity and purpose. Welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Rohini Marathi.
Thank you so much for having me, Robert. It's my honor and pleasure. Thank you.
Fantastic. So, Rohini, for listeners new to your work, what first drew you to the Akashic Records and how did it become the central part of your spiritual path right now?
Well, when I found out about the Akashic Records, I was going through a pretty painful, traumatic experience. I was just looking for answers as to why it happened, like why horrible things happen in life. And it led me there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a specific defining moment when you realized that the Akashic was more than just an abstract concept and became a living experience for you? Because, you know, people who are familiar with the term Akashic Records, they see it as this, and it's partially true, they see it as this library that collects everything, and you can be taken there, if you will, and tap into anything that's ever happened in the past, your soul's purpose, anything going forward. And your contention from going through your book is that it's more of it's a living type of thing. It's not just a static, it's not like going to the library. It's something that keeps changing all the time and keeps growing with us. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. I started diving deeper into it. So I started seeing the words Akashic Records everywhere. I got very curious and I watched a couple YouTube videos. At the time, there wasn't much information on it. So the videos I watched did describe it as like a library in the sky that you go to. Right. And I read a couple books on it, and the books that I read also pretty much said the same thing, except these books also said that there are these like large entities protecting this record, and you know, you have to like be worthy or somewhat to like be able to access the records. And at the time I was going through healing, like from tragedy. So I was really susceptible to believing anything. And I sat and tried for a really long time. And I noticed like as I was sitting, it made me feel less worthy because I'm like, well, I'm not worthy enough to access these records. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just like not good enough. That led me to doing a lot, like reading more about it, being like, why? Why is my favorite question? And through that exploration, I realized that a lot of what I was reading was conjoining to the ideas that I had grown up in. You know, I grew up in a Hindu temple, and I started realizing that these ideas come from these Vedic teachings that I was taught as a child. I'm like, whoa, it's starting to make sense. Mm-hmm. And then so I started studying more about our physiology and then our internal energy systems and how that connects to our environment. And then from that point, I started studying more about our universe and how we are tethered to it, the way it works and whatnot. And that's when I realized it. I had like one of those big aha moments while I was reading Irvin Laszlo's book, The Akashic Experience, about what the Akasha actually is. Like, there's no way to fully understand it because our tiny little puny human brains can't simply comprehend the vastness of the universe, right? But it made sense to me, and I realized we are a part of it. It's nothing outside of us. It's not this like giant library in the sky that we go to and we have to ask permission and be worthy of. We just have to be open and shed enough, be honest enough and present enough so that we can hear what it's saying and what we're receiving, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So it was a long journey, but I'm still learning, to be honest. I'll never fully understand it in this body, at least. But I'm still exploring it. And I jotted down the things that I've realized through exploration in the book.
The name of the book is Tapping Into the Akasha, Rohini Marathi, my special guest on today's Guys Radio. So you went through some spiritual changes that led you to the Akasha. So where did the Akasha kind of pop up for you, and what made you kind of connect with it?
Yeah, it was really interesting, actually. I don't know, this is kind of a trigger warning, so I'm sorry. We lost our second daughter to SIDS, and so that really created a lot, obviously a lot of pain. It's all in the book, so it's not trigger warning for everyone. But I was up late at night a lot and just scrolling the internet. And it was like, while I was scrolling the internet, I kept seeing the words Akashic Records. And that was the initial time. There's a whole story in the back of the book about how it all sort of happened. But to summarize it, it felt like a calling. There was a woman who told us, like, we'll start seeing signs, and if we see them in threes, then it's like our, you know, it's like a sign from the universe to move forward. And I saw the words Akashic Records three times. So I was like, okay, well then I'm just going to jump in and learn about this thing. Because I asked for help. I was like, I need help. I'm in a lot of pain. And that's when it came to me. So I just went for it.
So, had you gone to anybody else for an Akashic Record readings, or have you?
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Wow.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
So when you began to experience the Akasha, what was your experience like? What, you know, because most people think it's a big library and you can go there and it's pretty, you know, 3D in the concept, but you see it as more of a living, breathing kind of entity, which I would agree with you on. But what happened to you? What was your experience? How did you get there? Because a lot of people have kind of knocked on that door and they get frustrated because they can't tap in, or they go to somebody who helps them and gives them their background, like, here's kind of your star family and everything else. But how did you manage to kind of crack the code on your own?
That's really nice. I tried for a couple months, actually. I sat in meditation every day and I took it very seriously. I wasn't able to just understand what it is, but I think at one point it was when I completely let go of the thought that, I think it was like a point of surrender in a way, mm-hmm. where I was finally able to release fully. Is when I saw the first glimpse of something, and my experience wasn't that, it wasn't like a big magical experience or something. I saw clouds, and then I saw like an entity within the clouds, and then it all went away because I got excited, you know. I was like, ah, and then it went away. I was like, oh, what is this? Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting, but that's one of the reasons I don't like showing people readings. And I like to, like, I do a lot of Akashic teacher training and Akashic practitioner classes where I guide people how to get there on their own, because every time I show them, they feel like they have to do it the way I do it, because it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to create that barrier for people. It just makes me feel like everyone has to find their own path and the way they do it. And, you know, some people find it through painting. Some people find it through playing music. It's just about that surrender. It's like some people find it through like going on like long hikes where they can just release all the loops in their mind, or they're able to step behind it. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. That's what I realized it is. It's stepping behind the loops and being open to universal information.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that folks, what's their toughest, that's putting a lot on their plate, which is what should happen.
Yes.
And a lot of people want to be kind of
fast tracked,
spoon fed, and fast tracked. Yes. How did you manage that with them to get to the place where they need to be so they can experience it and kind of embody it?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I also studied hypnotherapy. So I love going and exploring the subconscious. A lot of times it's our belief systems that have been put in place, you know, especially like if you grew up in a religious background, it's so interesting to me. A lot of times, like, we believe in these magical books from the past, like, you know, the Bible, the Quran, like, whatever it may be, like the even like parts of the Vedas or whatnot, and they have such magical aspects to them, and we're like, yeah, that was real, you know, we believe that to be real, but then in our minds we kind of set it apart. It's like cognitive dissonance, where it's like, that was back then though, that's not now, that's not possible. And I feel like a lot of times within our society we've been taught to separate those things, where we have stopped relying on our inner world to guide us, and we have to ask for permission from somebody or from help from somebody to be able to guide ourselves. And I think that's where the disconnect happens. That's what comes up a lot for people when we're working on their subconscious, is that they believe they are not enough or worthy enough. So then we work through that, we cross that barrier together, and they find their path from there. I that's what I mainly do when I'm teaching people how to read the Akasha, is to get past these really big inner barriers that we've created throughout our lives.
Okay, so the first time you did this, you had kind of an experience, the first time you kind of broke through, and then it went away. What happened, if I may ask, the next time, how did you kind of make it, take it to the next level, if you will, and know how to kind of get there, get in, tap in, and kind of tap out when you wanted to?
Well, I started reading for other people, and that's what made the biggest change, because when you're with somebody else's energy, it's a lot more apparent. When you're sitting in your energy, it's a lot more difficult, and you need a lot more discernment and able to understand what you're seeing is and it, like, is real or not. But when you're with somebody else and they verify the things that you're saying to them, it's quite shocking, and you're like, okay. And then you get used to that shift. You're like, oh, that's what that shift feels like. And that's how you train your inner system to tap in. And once you start reading more and more, then you sit down with yourself and you start reading for yourself, you just know how to get to that shift a lot easier.
So when folks come to you, what are they usually asking for? Why do they want to get to the Akashic records? Is it just an overall curiosity, or they want to know past lives? They want to know future? Do they want to know their current soul path? What is it that most, obviously everybody's different,
yeah,
but in
a
general,
rainbow. It's a rainbow of things. But the one thing that always, that comes up most often is our life's purpose. I feel like a lot of people feel like they're not enough. That is what is the common denominator that's been coming up more than anything. And
That's interesting, because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of people think that their life purpose has to be something like they're going to do some specific thing.
Yes.
And to me, it's more about being a certain way.
Yes.
And if you're being in a way that sheds light, that's your life purpose. That's really good. All the other stuff is, I don't want to say it's immaterial, but it's not as important. As the biggest thing is, instead of, you know, an achievement, if you will, it's really about how you be. Somebody said that the life's greatest work, you know, the greatest work of art is how you manage your life. That's the greatest work of art. And a lot
Absolutely.
Of people don't give themselves credit for, you know, being the fact that we're here every day, we're blessed, you know, if we're healthy, hopefully. And they think that they have to achieve something, which is great. And we in Western society, obviously, it's an achievement oriented alpha kind of mindset. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if it gets in the way of the really bigger issue is about being the light, then sometimes it's a little bit dysfunctional, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, actually. And I feel like the way we do that is just be present in our days here and follow that inner joy that comes up, or the discernment that comes up, or whatever it may be. I think that's our guiding light.
So when you work with people, Rahini, and you tell them that, and they're expecting something bigger, do they, what's their reaction? Do they get it?
I mean, it depends. Everyone's on their own journey, you know. For a lot of folks, I think the work that we do brings them there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to do a lot of hand holding. I really don't, because I know how important the personal journey is. I will give like small guiding pathways here and there, but I really think in order for us to get to whatever the destination we think is to just go through it. So, you know, some people understand and some people don't, you know, it's just what it is. And I think eventually people get there, but I don't think that, I just think that the path is the most important part. I really do. And it's what creates character, and it's what creates discernment, and it's what creates, the way you are in your everyday life, just like you said, because that is the most important thing that we can do.
Okay, Rohini Marathi, my special guest on today's Guys Guys Radio, tapping into the Akasha. You know, the book's very interesting because there's a lot of spiritual concepts that are broken down in the first half of the book, Vedic teachings, crown chakra, sacral chakras, a lot of information that's a good foundation for people who want to do the Akashic work. So it's not just plug and play. You really need to work on yourself and look inside before you get to the point where tapping into something as powerful as the Akasha, Is there any, with that in mind, is there any, you need protection to go in there? Is there any, you know, is it all positive, or is there anything to be aware of?
It's neutral, you know, it's our minds and our beliefs is what's going to govern whatever experience we have, right? So if you believe it's going to be a scary experience, it may be, but the universe is neutral as we know it. It's not a positive or a negative thing. And I think these ideas we put on it are mostly human imagination, because we're so good at it. We're so good at imagining worlds, which is amazing, right? But you don't, it's a neutral thing. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Now for yourself, what have you found that's, how has this all affected your life?
It has changed every aspect of my life, actually. I feel more present. I feel more grateful. I let the silly things slide. Sometimes I get angry, but I don't hold on to it very long. Like, I feel like I appreciate things so much more because I understand how fleeting it all is and how important it all is, and how, in a way, we've been given this silly little gift, you know, to kind of express ourselves any way that we want. It's like, I feel like I always knew that, but now I understand it a little better. So
when you go in there, you had mentioned earlier your first time, there was some type of entity and some smoke, if you will, some mist. Do you connect with a similar entity? Are there specifics, or every time it's completely different? And as part of that, do you go in with a specific question whenever you tap in?
You know, to be honest with you, like...
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, to lie to you, just kidding. I know that is a really funny way of stating something, isn't it? I feel like that entity, I don't know what that was, but it might have been my imagination, like really wanting to make something real, or like a metaphor for something. Because I learned, like, through when I was reading for others, like the way I receive information has been through these like picturesque stories that change, and as I'm describing them, the real message behind them comes out. So it's not even about the visuals that I was receiving, it's more about the messages behind them. So I haven't really, I used to call on Ganesha and Anandamayi Ma and my daughter who had passed every time I sat in meditation. But at a certain point, I think I just started just being still and not asking questions and seeing what will come. So it was like an evolution of the way I interacted with.
Okay. So ether. When, Rohini, when you go into your, when you're going to tap into the Akasha, you have a tap in kind of protocol that's pretty elastic. Mm-hmm. So you go into your meditation and there's a couple of steps and affirmations to say, but do you do the same thing every time or can you just kind of snap into it now?
The only reason those things even exist is they're like training wheels, yeah. is so that you release, you surrender and you feel the shift. Once you get used to that shift, you don't have to do anything, you know? It's just about training your body to get used to that shift of how to release and surrender and then open up.
Mm-hmm. So this then is the Akashic records then, based on your experience, really like a deep meditation where you connect with the universe,
yeah.
and then you put something out there, things come in. A lot yeah. of times when I meditate, I do TM every day and it's really, right. really helped me. But I get information, not necessarily while I'm meditating. I'll be on my bicycle and something will boom, incoming. Yeah. I'll get it that way. Is that how it works for you? And
yes.
how others should expect that, that it's not just all based on that.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's usually like one of the things that I talk about when I'm teaching too. It's that information that comes to you, like maybe you're on a walk and then you go, and you're like, I have to write this down. I have to write this down. And you're reaching to get your keys to go in your house and it's gone.
Exactly.
You know, we're just training how to like keep that and immerse it into ourselves so that it doesn't completely
now,
go away.
As part of that, you mentioned the importance of journaling.
Yes.
Talk to us about that as a tool, because I remember my first spiritual teacher, she always was like, write it down, write it down, write it down. Are you writing it down? And then I start keeping the, you know, the notebook next to my bed and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and scribble like 5 pages on a dream and then go back to sleep. And once in a while, I tried to read it and it was just a bunch of, you know, keywords I could pick up. But I knew the process of writing it down was what mattered, not my going back and reading it. So what is it about writing it down that's so important?
Well, writing it down connects like neural pathways between your body and your subconscious. So it's really important to maybe release some things that way. But also you kind of get a window into what's going on in your inner world. So you don't necessarily have to go back and read it. But a lot of times when we write things down, we also release them, you know, so you're writing it down, you're releasing it either into your belief system or you're releasing it away from your belief system and your reality. It just depends on the energy behind it. But I love doing like the subconscious dump of just writing things out every day. And it is actually something that I recommend to people who are first starting to explore this aspect of themselves, is to just sit, grab a notebook. I do 3 pages a day. So you just write whatever comes to you. And the way that's evolved for me is I used to just write whatever, but now I start every sentence with, I am so grateful and happy that, and then I'll write it. I'm so grateful and happy that, and whatever comes to me, and I'll just keep writing it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been really nice. It's really helped.
So talking about healing, you mentioned in the book that with working with the Akasha, that you can help heal yourself, put yourself on a healing path, and also by the work you do, helping others be in a position to help themselves heal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's for the ripple effect that we do it, right? I mean, that's the only thing that really matters to me. Because I don't know, there was once when I sat in meditation and I was just open and I saw the macro and the micro, like us as our inner beings and the way we vibrate out affect the person next to us and the way they vibrate out, like we are in resonance with the people around us. So when we're emitting like this powerful energy, they get a little bit of it and then they pass it on. And then like you go into the macro instead of the micro and you see the whole universe and how it's all connected in that way, where it's all our energy that's creating everything, like, and other people, other energy. I don't know. It's all so connected. We're like tiny little neurons in like a giant brain, you know.
Little fractals, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the folks out there in our audience who are curious about this and probably want to work with themselves on it, first, should they go to somebody like yourself or a quote unquote expert professional and have a Akashic reading done so they get a better sense as to, okay, this is kind of what the Akash is all about, before embarking on the inner journey to be able to tap into it on their own? What do you think?
I think it's different for everybody. Some people need that so they can believe it, right? Because it's an abstract topic. Mm-hmm. But some people can pick up a book and read about it. Some people can just watch a video and be able to understand what that means, you know? Mm-hmm. The honest truth is, whatever will make you trust yourself mm-hmm. is what you need to do, right? And that's all. That's it. That's the main barrier to get through when you're first learning to do this, is to trust yourself. Mm-hmm. So
as part of that trusting yourself begs the question, where a lot of people, when they get into meditation or whatever, they get information incoming, and sometimes they don't know, am I just telling myself this, or is this real or not? How do you learn to trust yourself in terms of what's coming in and to be able to filter out the noise, if you will?
Discernment takes a lot of work, but I have found that usually the first piece of information, like the flash piece of information you receive, is the information coming through. Then your mind tries to create logic around it, and whatever comes after that is your mind working to make something out of it, or, you know, to create a story for you. But usually it's the first flash, and the process of this meditation is to make that first flash last longer before your mind jumps in. And that's just the practice of it. Just make that first flash last longer and longer and longer and longer.
No, that's fantastic. So the name of the book again, Tapping into the Akasha, Rohini Mirade, A Wondrous Journey of Personal Growth and Spiritual Development. Learn to pause, embrace the now, and trust the unfolding of your life. I think that's the message of the book right there. And it's fantastic.
Thank you.
So for our folks out there who are probably still asking themselves, I want to do this. How do I do this? The protocol that I know it's different for everybody, but if you were going and you go through it in the book, the tapping in process, could you do just a quick version of what they should do if they're going to work on themselves? Some people out there in my audience, some are meditators, all are probably seekers. Some may not meditate, or may be meditating, they don't know they're really doing a meditative process. It could be they golf all the time, and there's a focus in that that's like meditation or swimming, whatever. Yeah. So what are some of the things, tips you can give people to how to tap in?
That's great. I would honestly start with going outside. If you're able to go on a short walk, maybe 5 minutes or something, just to get your body moving so it can be still for a little bit. And then if you're able to sit, maybe sit against the wall, or if you're not, you can lay down. It's really important that your spine is straight here, because you want the energy moving from your root all the way down your crown and back. That's the whole reason yoga exists, is just so your spine is straight, so the information flows. So you can do it laying down or sitting down. And then you just notice what's inside. You start from your root, you notice, you go to your sacral, you notice, you go to your solar plexus, heart, throat, crown, third eye and crown, and you just notice. You don't do anything about it. You just notice what's around. And then you connect your root to the ground. You open up your heart, okay? And then you open up your crown. And that just means you just tell yourself, it's open now. You don't have to do much. And then this is my favorite part of the step, is I like to then focus on my third eye, while your eyes are closed, of course. And I take two steps backwards. So you step like you...
Physically or energetically?
Energetically. You take two steps backwards behind your eyes. You just feel it. And there's a shift where your focus goes into your center, where the energy is flowing. And what I recommend doing is just waiting to see what happens. Just breathe, focus on your breath. If you start thinking about all these things, just notice it and let it go. And just keep practicing it that way. See if anything comes up. A lot of times It's usually the first feeling you get. And there are a lot of different ways of receiving information too. You might just get a feeling. Your arm might hurt, or you might see something. You might get a thought. It's different for everybody. Maybe after you do this, you'll want to go write. Maybe you'll want to paint, make music if that's what you do. But I would start there and just practice that.
Well, I
See what
love that
happens.
idea. I've never heard it before. And I felt something when you mentioned it. I was trying to do it while we were talking. It's like in the third eye, and then you go back a few steps, and then you're kind of the third eye's out here and you're witnessing, but it seems to allow information to come through.
It does.
Wow,
It's
that's
really
amazing.
cool. Yeah, it's an internal shift that happens. It's really cool. When I first learned it, I was
Were you
blown
taught
away.
that, or is something that just came to you?
It came to me.
Wow.
Yeah, it felt that's what the shift feels like, is when you take the steps back. It's cool.
Fantastic. So how do meditation, visualization, and energy work help people become more receptive to what you call the Akashic information? How does all this stuff all connected?
Well, I mean, all that work, I believe, brings you to understanding yourself. And when you understand your place in the universe and you feel more connected to it, then you're able to co-create with it more easily, right? Instead of like working against something, it creates a flow state. And I believe that's why people have been practicing it for thousands and thousands of years. It just opens, it helps you love yourself, I guess. I think that's the best way to answer that. And self-acceptance and love is what creates the connection to the universe.
Amazing. So I would take this, Rohini, is that you don't believe that the future is fixed, or do
No.
the records say reveal probabilities and potential pathways rather than predetermined outcomes?
Well, we are little tiny energy eater and creators, right? We're eating the energy around us and constantly creating reality with it. So there's no way that it can be fixed in that way. We can see what the outcome can be based on what we're doing now, but we can always change what we're doing and change the future outcomes. And that's really cool. That puts a lot of power in our hands, and we're these tiny, minuscule things in the universe, So that's really, really cool. I mean, there are bigger energies also that we're working with. So it does take a collective to actually make a big change. But for our personal life path changes, the actions that we're putting out will create a different outcome.
How
But there are,
do
oh,
No,
sorry. There are
no, no.
societal things too that I just want to point out. So some things
Sure.
are out of our control that we can't.
So a lot of people, when they do the Akashic Records, they want us to find out where they came from, if they have a star family, if they're star seeds, where they live, past lives, and all of that. And it seems like the more important thing is really where they are now in the present. But people are very interested in going back. How can people use that information when they go back, so they maybe avoid the same mistakes they made in the past, may have made in the past, or they can see different opportunities that are more expansive for them now. How do they use that information going forward?
I feel that's a great question. I feel like that information is already a part of them, right? There's no way that it's not. And the way that they can move forward and access it even without going back and seeing is just following their intuition. That's what's speaking to you about creating change within yourself, or about where to go, where not to go. Like when you feel like you shouldn't do something, you feel it before that, right? You're like, oh, I shouldn't do this. And then you listen to that. Or when something's really exciting, you move forward. That's how your past selves is communicating, and your future self is communicating with you. So just listening to that, we don't need magical experiences to trust our intuition, but for some reason we've been told not to. So if anybody gets anything out of this, it's just to trust yourself and your intuition. You got to start listening to your gut feelings. Those are the most important things.
Yes, I agree, Rohini. So, have you, in your experience, encountered information from the Akashic Records that challenge your own assumptions about reality?
I can't think of an instance where that happened, but I will tell you that, like, I still honestly haven't formed like a solid opinion on reality because it doesn't seem fixed. It seems pretty fluid and based on our immediate beliefs, you know? So I feel like where before I've wondered more and I've been curious about it, I don't feel that curious about it anymore. And I've accepted that it's probably beyond our comprehension and that I'm okay with that. You know, I've accepted that I don't need to know everything and that maybe it's nice that way. Maybe it gives me permission to have more fun in a way.
Right. So, yeah. You know, we live in a, you know, a technologically dominated society now, yet there is this great interest in things like the Akashic Records and spirituality and life's purpose and being in the present and all of that. What do you think the interest is growing in spirituality when we have such a tech-dominated world that's getting more and more transhuman-oriented?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I feel like it's all a part of it, and it's a part of our slow evolution. I know it's happening really quickly right now with technology, but it is all a part of this world and universe. It's just things that we're discovering about how to use the energies of the universe. I don't feel like it's that weird or that separate, and I don't think it separates us from our spiritual selves in any way. Or in the beginning, when humans discover something and they start using it, there's always like a correction phase, right? Like a learning curve. And I think that's what we're in right now, and we're mm-hmm. going to learn how to work with it more conductively than the way we've been using it, where we're addicted to our devices now.
Right.
I feel like that's going to fade away, and I'm not too worried about it, to be honest.
So with Akashic Record reading and experiencing, is there a concern that, you know, somebody's going to put an app out there and you know, it's going to be technologically driven instead of internally driven?
I mean, that it's always been kind of something like that, right? So humans always seek answer, or have always been seeking answers outside themselves. It's just a new form of doing it if they decide to do that. But it's always going to go back to that experience of like, we need to connect with ourselves. It's been happening for centuries where, you know, the teachers are always being like, no, you got to go connect back with yourself. And then you find like something else. And mm-hmm. it's a part of the loop.
So, you often speak about interconnectedness. How does accessing the Akashic Records change the way we see ourselves and our relationship to humanity from your experience?
We are resonant beings and we are a part of nature. We are like the trees or the flowers or the birds or anything that's living on this planet, right? And we're all working in conjunction with another. For some reason, our imagination has led us to, and our discoveries through our imagination, like we were just talking about technology, has led us to feeling that we are not one, and we are very unique, and we are unique, but in a weird way too, like we humans are all one being, you know, all of our consciousness is somehow connected. And I love the way Carl Jung talked about the collective unconscious. I don't know if anybody else is interested in that too, but there is this collective unconscious that happens, and that's how we are all intertwined. But that's where we all meet, perhaps in our dreams, who knows, unconsciously, right? That's why there are pyramids on one side of the world and the other. That's why two people can get the same idea at the same time. We are all mm-hmm. connected through this ether. And once we understand that and realize that, we'll start working with each other a little better, because that's all it takes, is us accepting one another and growing together. And we just create so much resistance towards that because we don't think the other person is who we are, and vice versa, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, Rohini, you have done a fantastic job with this book, Rohini Marathi, Tapping into the Akasha. What would be the one lesson that you'd want people to take away from this book? And what would that be?
That you are enough, that you are completely enough right here, right now. You don't have to change anything about yourself. You are enough and you're perfect.
You know, that's so great, and it's so important, and it's so simple, yet it's so complex for people to get over that, because they're always been taught, I guess, by our cultural narrative that they're not enough. I mean, I worked in advertising for many years. It was all about, you got to have this.
Yes.
No, you're not enough unless you get this. And right now you get it today. Yeah. That's how our world works, unfortunately, but we all are enough. So thank you so much for being on the show. This is a very good, comprehensive worldview on spirituality. It has a lot of great tips. So great job. Thanks for being on Guys Guys Radio. Rohini Marathi.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, with fascinating conversation with our special guest, the new guest to Guys Guys Radio, Rohini Marathi. Her book, Tapping into Akasha, is helping us to learn to pause, embrace the now, and trust the unfolding of your life. And she really puts the responsibility on our plate in terms of getting ourselves in a position to tap into all the knowledge that's available to us if we can get into that state of quietude that we need to be able to be aware of this knowledge and be able to use it. You know, we live in a very noisy world, let's face it, between the music and the media and the social media and the doom scrolling and the tasks we have to perform each and every day, whether it's just about dealing with the DMV or your car insurance or your home insurance and everything else. There's so many tasks that we do that we end up getting into this reactive, noisy state. And then when you think about the media, you know, you don't want to be uninformed, but you don't want to be misinformed. So there's that delicate balance that we have to find where we can be in a position to kind of know what's going on and know where the information is coming from that's coming at us. But we really want to get into a state of through meditation. And meditation could be doing a proper meditation, sitting down and getting quiet for 30 minutes and learning how to do that, whether it's TM or something else. Or it could be a walk on the beach or a swim in the ocean or a hot shower or just lying down for a few minutes and just quieting yourselves. And that's the whole key. How do we get quiet? How do we access the information that is available to us? And then how do we learn to trust the information that comes in, so we're not saying, oh, that's just me talking to myself because of all of the tech static that's coming in from my devices all the time, and I don't really think clearly anymore. And that's some of the challenges we have, folks. So step one, step two, and step three is learn how to get quiet and go inside and be open to absorb those answers to the questions that we have. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.